The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, scale back India Day celebrations went ahead this past weekend following a number of attacks on members of the Indian community in Ireland. But our two countries have a lot more in common, starting with our nation's origins, both after independence from Britain. To talk about all of this, I'm joined now by Kaveri Madhavan, a Kildare-based author, to hear about her and her family's experience from moving to another country that has such a familiar origin story to the one that she was leaving. Kaveri, good morning.
Hi, Pat. Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
I'm delighted to have you on. Now, tell me about your decision to come to Ireland. Why us, first of all, and why did you leave India?
Well, Pat, I mean, we came to Ireland, not unlike many Irish people, I mean, many Indian people to this day. You know, we came because my husband was a young junior doctor and he wanted to get his FRCS. And Ireland there was an opportunity in Ireland for him to work and do the exams. And that's how we arrived, you know, from Ireland straight to Sligo.
How long ago was that?
Gosh, it's nearly 40 years. 40 years this September, Pat.
Because some people would characterise the arrival of many people from India to populate our health service as a new thing. But of course, it's been going on for decades.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, there were Indian doctors in Ireland even before 40 years, you know. So this has been going on for decades now.
So the idea was to get the qualification, but still, here you are 40 years later, unexpectedly so, perhaps.
Yes, you know, I mean, we definitely did not intend, when we first came, intend to stay on. But, you know, my husband sort of fell into a specialty, into vascular surgery, which in those days, you know, was a very new specialty and did not exist as, you know, in its own right in most parts of the world, you know. So, you know, he decided to stay on because he wanted to specialize as a vascular surgeon rather than as a general surgeon. And that's the reason we stayed on.
Can you remember the kind of welcome you got at that time?
It was, you know, it was a welcoming country just literally as much as it is now, despite everything that's happened, because despite everything that's happened in the last few months and weeks. You know, it's a country of 5 million today, Pat, and I'd say 50 people have been responsible for these attacks in the last few weeks. So, you know, I wouldn't tar everybody in Ireland with the same brush. Absolutely not. The welcome that we got 40 years ago still exists. People are still the same. You know, Irish people in the main are still the same. It's just a very, very small, you know, out for trouble minority. And so many of them, unfortunately, children.
And they make life so unpleasant, not just, by the way, for the population who have come here from India, but from other parts as well.
Irish people as well.
And for Irish people as well. The efforts of this small number of people is amplified so many times over by social media because, of course, when they're doing nasty things, often they video those and post them online.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's so much of clickbaiting stuff going on that, you know, if you're not on social media, you would not be mentally subject to the kind of assaults that you would have if you were active on social media. You know, even if it's not an assault directly, but, you know, you can be reading stuff that just you think, good God, where is this coming from? But when you actually look at where it's coming from, most of these are, you know, bad actors from the US, bad actors from the UK, you know, far right bot farms. And, you know, you do have to step back and say, OK, you know, this is somebody with, like, you know, 102 followers and just out there to create trouble, you know.
Yeah. But the problem is, though, once the genie gets out of the bottle, you know, people start to think that this is in some way normal behavior and start to mimic it. And that's the concern, that the few bad actors then become the many bad actors.
Exactly. And I think the normalization of hate is just so sad. And it has, I mean, we never thought it would come to Ireland, but it has. You know, it's arrived with a big fat bang, you know.
Now, so, do you think that people generally have an idea of the shared history of our countries. I mean, even our flags have a similarity, although yours tends to be horizontal and ours is perpendicular in its colour display, and you have the wheel in the centre. But otherwise, the flags kind of demonstrate a commonality.
Oh my God, Pat! I mean, the shared history is just, you know, is so long and is actually quite intense, and very little was known, you know, to the general public until recently. But you know, there's work been done by Irish historians, like, for example, you know, Kate O'Malley and Professor Jane Olmeyer from TCD, and which have, you know. It's a revelation, because Ireland has been involved in India for the last 300 and more years. You know, Irish people, Irish men and Irish women went to India to make their fortunes, to, you know, to make a living, you know, join the army. They were in every aspect of the British Raj. They were really the cogs in the wheel. They oiled the machine. They kept it going. They were in every aspect of the British Raj, from whether it was the railways, whether it was the customs. They ran the telegraph. They ran the post. You know, I believe something like 40% of the army were Irish soldiers.
So we have this very long-tailed commonality there. The extraordinary irony, I suppose, is if under the British Raj that Irish people helped in some way to build and modernise India in terms of railways and postal services and telegraph and so on, here we have Indian people coming here helping to keep our health service on the road.
Yeah, it's a strange you know, circular thing that happens sometimes in history. But I mean, even as an you know, as a young Indian coming to Ireland those 40 years ago, I wasn't aware of those connections between India and Ireland. And you know, I was educated, despite the fact that I was educated by Irish nuns right through my schooling. You know, I wasn't aware of the massive connections, you know, between the two countries. And of course, you know, apart from the fact that Ireland, Irish men and women were part of the British Raj, but they were also very, very much part of the Indian freedom struggle. So it's a really complex, as with everything in Ireland, you know, it's a complex history and so many nuances, because there were so many Irish people involved in India's freedom struggle. You know, names that Indians would know, like Annie Besant, James and Margaret Cousins, several other people. You know, even, for example, De Valera, you know, he in the 20s, he went to New York and gave this most amazing speech trying to raise funds for India's freedom. You know, I mean, how many people know that?
Now, when your husband arrived, he went to Sligo via Belfast, and he had an extraordinary encounter almost from the beginning.
Yeah, it was a day one. You know, he'd just literally flown into Belfast on his way to Sligo to, you know, to take up his first job. And he was in a bus from Belfast to Sligo, and which emptied out fairly quickly. And, you know, maybe about 20 miles into the journey, the bus driver said to him, you know, called out to him and said, come up and sit up here in front with me. And so, you know, Prakash headed off and sat up in front. And then the driver turned to him and said, you know, we have so much in common. And my husband was a bit taken aback. And, you know, he said, well, you know, you're from India. We have so much in common. We have a shared hatred of the British. You know, that was like Prakash's first encounter with any Irish person, was that. So
now, the current spate of anti-Indian sentiment from these few people, it does get, of course, worldwide attention. That's the nature of communications these days. So are you hearing expressions of dismay from your friends and relatives back in India about even your own safety?
Not so much about our own safety, Pat, but certainly we've had a few, you know, a good few in the last few weeks, a good few people who have, you know, texted friends of friends, or even directly friends who have texted to say that, you know, my child is coming to study in Trinity College or you know, UCD or Maynooth. Is it safe? And like, I mean, you know, you just wonder, Jesus, what am I going to say? Because yes, of course, it's safe, but then you could be the person subject to that random racist attack. And when you are subject to that kind of abuse, it is so humiliating, and you feel so helpless, and you want to turn around and say all kinds of things. But I think for most people, the shock of being subject to that kind of abuse is just so intense that you kind of most of the time keep your mouth shut and just try and walk away. But then, that lingers on because it is a terrible humiliation. And I think especially when you realize that people around you, maybe at the bus stop or on the bus or wherever, in whatever public space this happens, when people around you keep quiet, that actually is the most hurtful thing. So I would say to, people listening today, if you see something happening, say something, even if you don't want to say something to the person who's, perpetuating that the abuse, go up to the person who's been subject to the abuse and say something.
Yeah, because
Because that does make a difference. It does make a difference.
that attack that happened in Talla, if you remember, maybe the first that got the most publicity, that young man who worked, I think, in the tech sector, and
That's right.
a woman who was passing by did
Exactly. Yeah.
exactly that. She intervened.
That.
She was
Yeah.
very brave
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
very
Yeah.
outspoken, and perhaps prevented an even worse fate befalling. And then there
Absolutely.
was
Yeah.
the young chef who, or he's not a young chef, he's been here quite a long time, working down in the Marker Hotel, and
That's
he
right.
was attacked randomly at 4 in the morning by yobs. I mean, really violent criminals. I don't know what we're going to do about it, because you can't have a policeman on every corner.
No, you can't. But I think it's very hard, Pat, because especially most of these thugs are very, very young. And the our existing legislation doesn't cater for punishing the very young. And so, it's kind of a it's a real conundrum. Well, what do you do?
You know, even in my area, a woman was walking, and a guy decides to throw his slushy or whatever it was, what was left of the ice, in a cup at her, and she remonstrated with him because she wouldn't be behind the door and dealing with something like this. You know, saying, "I know you come probably from a good background. This is not acceptable behavior." And his reply was, "You can't touch me. I'm a minor."
You see, and they all know it, and that's the whole issue. So, does the legislation and ju does justice then go after their parents? Do the parents get fined? There has to be some, and this is not, mind you, this is not happening. These attacks aren't happening just to Indian people. And of course, the other thing to remember is that, I mean, none of these people who do these kind of things can identify a brown person and say, oh, that's an Indian, I'll go for him. No, that's a Pakistani, I'll leave him alone. Sure, no, that's, it's just a coincidence that all the brown people that have been attacked happen to be Indians.
Well,
Do you know,
I
I mean,
think the main thing is to ventilate all of these things, encourage people to be supportive of their neighbors of whatever origin or hue, and be
absolutely.
there for them.
Yeah, and I think, if you witness something, say something to the person who has been attacked. Be kind, and I think it's really a, I think it's a time for random acts of kindness. Like, even if you're, you just give a smile to the next brown person you see on a bus. Makes a difference. It really, really does, because then you are reassured as a person of color, whether you're brown or black. You're reassured as a person of color that I am still in a safe place. The acts are random and few, and it's a minority. The majority don't think like that, because I know they don't. I have lived amongst my friends and neighbors who are more than my friends and neighbors, because when you come here as a first generation immigrant, you have no family, and your neighbors become your family.
Well, Corbett, thank you very much for joining us on the program this morning and articulated that view from within the Indian community. Corbett Madhavan, thank you very much for joining us. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.